Students nationwide are back to school, but chances are they attend a school where 3/4 of the student body is of the very same race or ethnicity. Even though it's been 70 years since the Supreme Court mandated schools become integrated, today most pre-K through 12th grade educational institutions remain highly segregated. What will it take to diversify our schools? Well, we're going to bring in two men, now in their 60s, who were part of a radical experiment back in 1971 when they were middle schoolers, 12-year-old boys growing up in two different neighborhoods in notoriously segregated Boston. One black from an immigrant family and one wealthier and white. These tweens were thrust together in a schooling experiment called Sidetrack that aimed to not just integrate schools, but do so in an equitable manner. Did it work? Let's find out from Roberto Forts and from Peter Thompson, who wrote about this experience for the Boston Globe. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us,
you.
Diva.
So I'd like for you both to briefly describe to people where you grew up, your neighborhood and your school prior to your seventh grade year. Let's start with you, Roberto.
Yes, I grew up in Roxbury and Dorchester, a couple of neighborhoods in Boston prior to Sidetrack, and it was a very segregated existence, especially in Roxbury. I lived briefly in Hyde Park, and when I went to school in the third and fourth grade, I remember being chased home by a couple of classmates who were white, calling me all kinds of names, and Boston was generally that hostile anytime I left my house. The schools in Boston were notoriously segregated, but they were also very, very inferior by design. And that was a big problem for my family. My mother insisted on not settling for something like that. And that's why we set off to try to find a solution to an inferior education that was imposed on us.
Peter, let's bring you in.
Yeah, so I grew up from about 8 years old in the town of Lincoln, which is about 15 miles outside of Boston. And it's nearly a rural old farming town, extremely white, quite wealthy. There was some economic diversity in town then, but virtually no racial, ethnic, cultural diversity. One of the interesting things about it, though, was that folks in town felt, I think, much more of a connection to the outside world than a lot of the other suburbs around it, and were much more engaged in many ways. And I think that's one of the things that gave birth to Sidetrack.
So let's talk about Sidetrack. It's an educational experiment, which some described in your article, Peter, as revolutionary. So tell us, Peter, how it worked. I mean, everything was quite literally half in one world and half in another.
Yeah, I mean, it was remarkable. It was radical. It was utopian. Half the kids in it were from Lincoln, all white. Half the kids in it were from Roxbury, nearly all black. We split the group up into two classes. Half of each class was from Roxbury. Half of each class was from Lincoln. Each class spent half the year in the other's community. So in the fall, I was in the class that went to Roxbury. Roberto was a classmate of mine. The other group spent the first half of the year in Lincoln. Halfway through, we switched. So it was 50-50 the kids, 50-50 the communities, 50-50 in each other's schools. Our teachers were 50-50, one black, one white, one male, one female in each group. Nobody in the group was an outsider. There was no minority. There was no majority. There was nothing to saying, this is the way life should be. This is the way that you should conform.
It sounds very radical, kind of bold. Like one example, dropping kids off somewhere and telling them to find their way home. I mean, you know, it feels like it was an experiment with education just as much as it was with the mingling of social groups. Roberto, how did you feel?
Trying to find your way home on the T was an awesome experience. It kind of made you feel like you could accomplish something outside of your small orbit.
And let me just say here that the T, for those who don't know, is the rail system.
Yes, and we had another elective where we would go to the main library in Copley Square and just delve into the microfiche section and found so much excitement in looking up history. And those are skills that translate to high school and college and beyond. just to have that curiosity.
You know, I wonder how as kids, because it could have gone off the rails quickly, but it didn't. Why do you think it didn't, Peter?
Well, ultimately, it did go off the rails because the program only lasted for 1 year. We had a 3-year grant from the federal government. We had a couple of teachers who were extraordinarily tuned into us as kids. They were firm and engaged, but they were not overbearing. They never told us what to do with each other in terms of our interaction, talking about race, talking about the difference between our communities. And I think that they let us kind of work things out among ourselves. It didn't always, it's not like we ended up, you know, in some kind of paradise, but we had this freedom to just be kids together and not be sort of told, here's how you should act, here's what you should say.
I embraced it. I loved it. I thought it was very special. But the key was that when we were in class, there were no stereotypes, there was no issue of race, and we just quickly realized that we were all human beings in the same room with this one unique purpose. So it was very enlightening and awesome. Mm.
Peter, would you agree with that?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It exposed me to all these things that I had no idea about. Urban orienteering, being taken someplace and let off and say, find your way home. We had to rely on ourselves and our wits, and we developed a sense that wherever you go, you're going to be okay. You're never going to be lost. You're going to find your way. There's always something interesting there.
It was a situation where we were just allowed to have fun and learn.
Yeah. And as Peter's article in the Boston Globe points out, you know, one of the main reasons it ended was due to white parents not enrolling their children and or pulling them out, so the 50-50 split couldn't continue into the next year. My final question to both of you, given we started this interview by letting people know that schools are still very segregated today, do you think this could work today? Briefly, Peter.
I think there's tremendous power in this model. I think that white families are somewhat more receptive, finally, to this idea than they were in my town and elsewhere 50 years ago. And there's also a great, much greater understanding of the value of experiential education. But this 50-50 thing where nobody is an outsider, everybody gets to be on their own turf, but also gets the experience of being new and uncomfortable in a place. That was a revelation for us suburban kids. And I think that there are more and more families that understand that this kind of interaction with folks who are different from you on a level playing field where nobody has any advantage is a profound model, although there's still a huge amount of resistance.
And Roberto?
Could it work now? Yes, it would take a lot of commitment from people in power, but I think that looking at the greater issue of segregation as far as where people live would solve a lot as well.
Absolutely. In 1974, a couple of years after Sidetrack, there was a major desegregation case before the Supreme Court about whether there could be mandatory integration between cities and suburbs. The lawsuit failed by one vote. Thurgood Marshall was in the minority on that. And he issued kind of an ominous warning. He said, unless our children begin to learn together, there's little hope that our people will ever learn to live together. I'm afraid that we have been proving him right since then. Sidetrack proved the inverse of that, that if our children do learn together, that we can learn to live together. I think that's one of the most powerful messages that I took away from Sidetrack and from my life.
Roberto Fortz is a retired attorney living in California, and Peter Thompson is a journalist who wrote about this Sidetrack program for the Boston Globe. We'll link to it on our website. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.